Yes, ma'am.
All right. Good evening. Good evening. We're going to get started with our meeting this evening. I'd like to ask for everyone to please rise for the pledge of the flag.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Clerk will call the roll.
Mr. Raymond?
Present.
Mr. Callahan?
Present.
Mr. Cologne?
Present.
Ms. Daniels?
Present.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Present.
And Ms. Laird?
Present. Prior to the consideration of our regular agenda item, City Council will be conducting a public hearing tonight to accept public comment concerning proposed zoning text amendments that would modify the definition of hotel in the zoning ordinance so as to include transient guests who are defined as individuals renting lodging for fewer than 30 consecutive days. The amendments would have the effect of excluding short-term rentals in residential districts where hotels are prohibited. Other proposed amendments: A, modify the definition of boarding house to maintain consistency with the modified definition of hotel. B, amend Article 1307 relating to the workforce housing incentive to include the CL district. C, revise Article 1318, Section 26 to prohibit multiple single-family detached dwellings on the same lot among districts. This public hearing is for informational purposes only. There will be no vote during the public hearing. In connection with this public hearing, there are two communications. We'll now read them.
Communication 6A, the June 17th memorandum from Kathy Fletcher, Director of Planning and Zoning, recommending approval of zoning text amendments intended to clarify short-term rental regulations, add the limited commercial zoning district under the workforce housing incentive, and limit one single-family dwelling per residential lot. The City's Planning Commission voted 5-0 on July 11th, 2026 to recommend approval of, June 11th, I believe, 2026 to recommend approval of these amendments. And then Communication 6B, a June 29th, 2026 correspondent from Jacob Weinberg, a community regional planner with the Lehigh Valley Planning Commission. Mr. Weinberg states that updating the definition of hotels and transient guests at hotels and treatment centers to include the time frames that constitute a stay, quote, encourages an efficient development process that is responsive to regional needs, unquote, by adding clarification. Additionally, the proposals to expand the areas where workforce housing incentives apply and limiting the number of single-family detached dwellings to one per lot help to, quote, provide a wide variety of attainable housing in locations that maximize social and economic opportunities for everyone, unquote.
This public hearing is called to order. I will now recognize a representative from the administration to address this matter.
Good evening, everyone. I'm Kathy Fletcher. I'm the Director of Planning and Zoning here at the City, and I'll be walking us through these text amendments to get the public hearing started. But before we get into the amendments, I just wanted to give you a little bit of background of why we're here today. Periodically, the Planning and Zoning Bureau will put together a package of unrelated text amendments rather than a one-off use case scenario. So, you know, as we're going about our regular business, different cases will show up as we're applying the zoning ordinance where we can identify areas that can be improved for clarity or where there might be unintended inconsistencies. So this is an example of when we work with our law bureau to package together a set of amendments to move through the process all at once. So that's what we're going to be doing today. So also just to go over the process, what's in front of you today was included as a communication in the city's June 2nd City Council meeting and has since been reviewed by both the city's Planning Commission as well as the Lehigh Valley Planning Commission, as Mr. Miller just read out to you all, and both of their letters are included in your packets. So to walk through these amendments themselves, sections 1 through 4 are related to each other. So they are all really intending to bring short-term rentals into the definition of a hotel. And that's really clarifying that stays of fewer than 30 consecutive days are considered transient lodging. And it also allows us to ensure that short-term rentals such as Airbnbs or similar are only permitted where hotels are currently permitted. And to this date, we've been treating Airbnbs basically as hotels rather than family residences, which is permitted by the PA zoning case law. But that has not clearly been codified in our own zoning ordinance. So this is really clearly providing that definition to better enforce these uses. Section 5 is more of a standalone, and that is expanding the workforce housing incentive to include the limited commercial CL district. And what workforce housing incentive really does is it provides flexibility in projects that include housing that is affordable to households that are earning 80% or less of the area median income. So it's really targeting that affordable housing component. And aligning, adding this district better aligns the ordinance with the city's broader housing and affordability goals. And then lastly, Section 6 clarifies that only one principal single family detached dwelling is permitted on a single lot. And that's not changing any other regulations. That's also just a clarification as well. And that concludes my presentation.
Thank you. I will now invite members of council to comment. Does anyone to my right have comments or questions? Mr. Crum.
Thank you, Councilman Laird. The only question I had as it relates to changing definitions, and you know, we talk about essentially Airbnbs only being allowed where hotels are. Do these changes have any effect on the city's ability to enforce current ordinances?
The current zoning ordinance as it stands?
Mm-hmm. Or is it simply just clarification?
It's really clarifying. Because we have been aligning with what we are proposing now, but this is really giving us more teeth to go through the process of enforcement.
Understood. Thank you.
Any other questions, comments? Okay, I will now recognize the public for comment. I turn to my left, anyone? Mr. Haynes?
Yeah, thank you very much. I'm Bruce Haynes from 63 West Church Street, managing partner of the Historic Oak of Bethlehem, but also a resident of the Historic District. I'm here tonight actually to 100% reinforce what the city is doing here. We have been, I know you're shocked, but this is something that as residents, we have been fighting the intrusion of Airbnb into our Historic District for the last 10 years at least. Actually, we have our council here, Tim Stevens, who has been with us along that way, as constantly we have the threats where people come in and open an Airbnb, and then we have to take them to task. And the ordinances that are in place right now, it's the same, there's no change. But what this does is it helps us in court to solidify, you know, to make our cases stronger. You know, we have gone in multiple cases. This is like whack-a-mole where people want to come in and all of a sudden open an Airbnb, whether it's somebody who lives here, who used to rent their apartment to someone who lived and worked here, and all of a sudden it became an Airbnb overnight, and the person that lived and worked here got kicked out. And the Airbnb, people who were coming in for the weekends, transient guests, were staying there. So that's against the current ordinance. There's no change, but, you know, we would have to, you know, bring the case to the city that this is occurring, and then typically we would have to take the case personally. And actually, then we've gone at least two times to the highest court, and we've won all the cases, but it's cost us a lot of money and a lot of time. And typically, and I don't think we've lost a case. We've won them all, but some of them take 3 and 4 years, and they just continue to operate while that's going on because they sign up for the court thing. So this is great. It's going to help those cases to be a lot stronger, make it less likely that some attorney will take something on, knowing that the ordinance is, he doesn't have some quirk in there to go after. So I really am here to reinforce it, and it's more important than ever right now because, the hotel has started promoting last fall after we got number one Main Street. The hotel's 5 years in a row America's number one best historic hotel nationally. So we're nationally known now and have been for some years. Actually, yesterday we kicked off the 6th year voting is going on for the next month. VoteHotelB.com every day. But basically, we started our national marketing campaign last year after we got number one Main Street, which we were working on as the travel agents came to the hotel to see the hotel. We would show them Main Street and tell them we should be number one Main Street. And soon, sure enough, one of the travel agents was put, travel writer, got put on the committee for USA Today and nominated us 2 years ago. And we went all the way to number one in the first year and won it again this year. So after we got it last year, we already had number one best hotel in 24 with the World Heritage. We're now, you know, come visit America's number one best historic hotel on number one Main Street with a World Heritage site. And we started that advertising campaign last summer. Our results started to show in the fourth quarter. Our leisure traveler business was up 9% in the fourth quarter. In the first quarter was up 12%. The quarter we just finished, it was up 20%. And our advanced bookings for the rest of the year are up 30%. So it's happening. We're now going to be a tourist destination. We're making it happen. And the thing is, when that happens, that attracts investors from out of town to come and buy homes and turn them into Airbnbs. And similar to what happened on the south side with investors coming in and buying homes for student housing. And so you're really destroying your neighborhoods, and you're reducing your housing stock for affordable housing. So this is really important, and it's more important than ever now that we're going to become a true tourist destination for heritage travelers. So thank you very much for considering this and supporting the administration's position.
Thank you. Would anyone else to my left like to speak?
Hi, my name is Mike Stauffer. I live in Bethlehem. I didn't know that this was on the agenda. I have to real quick tell you, the Hotel Bethlehem is a jewel. It's a treasure of Bethlehem. So much so that sometimes my wife and I, when we have a perfectly good place to sleep, we go there just to check in and just enjoy it. So it's awesome. What caught my eye here was, I'm not expert by any means, but if I'm reading this right, there's an emphasis on limiting lots to one single family dwelling per residential lot. That's good. That's stability. That's a very good thing. I hope I'm reading that right, because it seems like in the past few years, there's been like almost a rush and an urgency to develop and almost cram in as many people as possible through every conceivable way of building and bringing people in. And I think I've spoken a couple times. What worries me about that is it begins to change the nature and the feel of Bethlehem from a town. Right, we all know what it is. It's, you know how like sometimes you can't describe exactly what something is, and you just say, you know what it is. Well, anybody that has lived in Bethlehem for more than 10 years, you know what Bethlehem's about. Sometimes you can't describe it, but there is a difference when you go from the far side of Allentown through Bethlehem all the way to the far side of Easton. You go from a metropolis to a town, back to a metropolis. And my heart and my concern has always been that what makes Bethlehem a place that people want to live, that we don't open it up so much that we lose what makes it a place where you want to live. And to do that, you have to have stability. So this is a great thing. The second thing I wanted to come here originally to talk about was I've noticed my best perception, and again, I always preclude things by saying I could be wrong. Okay, I always put the caveat out there that I hope I'm seeing this right. Just in the last few years, it just seems like many times when conversations come up about housing, land use, things like that, I see the words constantly that if there's more development, it's celebrated. It's almost always seen as a good thing. In the private work world, you always have to use two benchmarks when you're keeping a metric, because they keep each other honest. So what I want to encourage council and the mayor, if he sees this, to take into consideration is as we move into the next few months and next few years in our city, that any time we're evaluating, talking about, looking at, considering, working with, and discussing the topic of housing, affordability, more units, that is not the sole thing that's looked at when we're measuring and evaluating something, but that there will always be a counterbalance called quality of life, right? So what that means is, let's say theoretically, somebody develops, you know, a 100-unit dwelling in the next 2 years that has, you know, a certain percentage of affordable housing, it's stable, it blends in well, and initially, there would almost be a knee-jerk reaction, I think, among a lot of people to immediately celebrate that and say, wow, look at what we accomplished. Look at what the mayor led us into. But my request is that we don't do that without also, at the same time, keeping in mind, yeah, but how does that affect quality of life? Butstown Road, if you put up a 50-unit dwelling in the next 2 months and increase housing, that could be celebrated as a great thing. But if you would look at quality of life and look at traffic and congestion, for example, that would kind of you need to balance out the effect of what you're doing. So I hope I'm articulating that right, but I just encourage council, who I respect, going forward to maybe consider always in the back of your mind, and I'm not saying you don't do that right now, but always keeping in mind quality of life and how that's affected by what is celebrated as growth. So, thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Stahl. Anyone else to the left? Anyone in the broad center on the topic of the hearing?
This is just for the hearing?
Yes. Anyone to the right? Yes.
Hi, I'm Stephen Scheide. I'm a local resident. I live right on Wall Street. And initially, I had not planned to speak like my preceding speaker. However, our neighborhood, and Mr. Haynes, I think you alluded to that, and I would just encourage you to take a positive view on this matter, because my neighbors really fought very hard for this change. So thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else to the right? No, this is a hearing on some zoning text amendment changes about hotels, hotel definition. Yeah.
Sorry. Not talking about the buffer yards?
We are not talking about the buffer yards.
Can I come back and talk about that later?
Yes, that would be the next section. Okay, anyone else on the topic of the hearing? Okay, proposed ordinance will be placed on the July 21st agenda for first reading. And that concludes this public hearing, which is now adjourned. Moving on to our normal city council business, the approval of minutes. Do any council members have comments on the minutes from June 2nd, 2026, or the minutes on the comment session that was held on June 16th, 2026? Hearing none, the minutes stand approved for both of these dates. We now move on to our first public comment section for our general meeting. The first section will be on subjects which are not being voted on this evening with a 5-minute time limit. As a note, because there was some confusion in the community, communication 6R regarding the buffer yard protections is not being introduced for voting tonight. It is a communication. So if you're here to make comment on that topic this evening, which two of you at least I know are, that would be in this comment section that we are not voting on tonight. I will begin by calling on those who signed up in advance. So we have Deborah Condon, I believe it is.
Good evening. So I'm Deborah Condon. I live in 903 Spring Street, so not far up the hill here. I did send an email to each of you, but I wanted to publicly say this is a really important point, and I thank Councilwoman Jo Daniels for bringing this forward. But I am a 19-year resident of Bethlehem City, and within the past year, I've been following several of the zoning board meetings, involving the developers and their proposals for establishments in West Bethlehem, where I live. And I'm extremely pleased about the green buffer yard amendment that you are proposing for review. I believe every resident deserves equal environmental protection regardless of their dwelling type. I live in one of those twin homes on Spring Street, the 1918 ones where the steel workers lived, although the bigger houses up the hill that have those built-in buffer zones already. So I really want to voice my support of this amendment. I think it really falls in quickly too with what the gentleman in blue was saying too about the quality of life, which sometimes scares me a little bit because I think sometimes we're losing that. And I just want to point out two sentences or three that I thought were fantastic in this amendment, that historically Bethlehem's twin homes were built to house those steel workers, the factory workers, and the immigrant families whose labors built this city. And they still build this city, though, in many ways. And these neighborhoods remain the home for many other working class citizens and residents. It does scare me when we talk about some of the developers that are coming in, and we already feel that squished feelings, and what they're selling their homes for, what their rents are way more than I can guarantee you what the mortgages that we pay on in my block. And so I also like that it said, as a result of the ordinance's current distinction disproportionately affects neighborhoods where lower income and minority residents are concentrated. I'll add that on just recently retired, which is great, but it's also fixed income too. So a lot of this is felt. And the residents who live in our historic twin homes and the row houses which fill those neighborhoods deserve the same consideration and protections afforded to the residents of the detached and single homes. So thank you very much, and thank you to Jo Daniels. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next signed up speaker is Artie Curatola.
Uh, Hi, I'm Artie Caracola, a.k.a. J. Creed. Google my name, you'll find that I'm an internationally known writer and performing artist born in the USA in Bethlehem, PA. Again, I like to bring up that I'm blacklisted to perform music and comedy for well over 7 years now at ArtsQuest for exercising my freedom of speech without the use of any street talk or acts of violence to one of their higher officials, who I heard is feeling so bad that he called the police. That when the police came to the scene, they laughed at him when he said, "I want that straight man arrested." Anyway, no arrest for me. So he cried to his mom, a co-worker, supervisor, head of ArtsQuest, who probably said something like, "Wipe the tears from your eyes, my son. Don't worry, my little one. We will take care of that Gentile and cut off his Gentiles. We will no longer beat up slaves or behead them because we can psychologically make eunuchs out of them. We will have them barred for life from performing ArtsQuest and fight it very hard to find work in the Lehigh Valley."
Mr. Curatola, our solicitor would like to address you.
Sure, what?
Statements of attribution are not permitted during public comment.
What do you mean by that? Can we stop the clock? We're having a controversy here.
We can stop the clock here. So, you're not permitted to attribute statements to others. You can speak on your own thoughts and opinions, but please do not.
I can't say what I felt, how it was.
Yes, you absolutely can. What you can't do is attribute commentary to others.
It probably went down.
That's speculative, and I just ask you to move on. Thank you.
But that's,
start the clock again?
You know, that's my opinion. Isn't that my how I feel?
The clock is running. Please move on.
So, okay. I will continue then. And if you got to cut me off, you cut me off. So I feel that she probably said that he's not going to have any work in the Lehigh Valley because he disrespected a Jew. We will label and brand him anti-Semitic. How dare he to hurt my child how he did. Here, take a Kleenex, take a whole box. Our ArtsQuest, we're a nonprofit organization, we can't afford it. Take a couple boxes for later. Actually, it will send the truck to your house. We'll make him think twice about messing with God's chosen people. We will rule the Lehigh Valley next the world. We will take other territories in the Middle East by destroying their lands, overthrowing their governments, and killing the firstborn children. Hell, we'll kill the children so they won't grow up to not comply to our regulations and rules. Let's kill the mothers so they won't have
Mr.
the little rats. Let's
Mr. Curatola,
the fathers.
You need to stop now?
What?
You may not put words in someone else's mouth.
Okay.
I am not stopping the clock again.
Okay.
Stop putting words
so
in.
So anyway, we're going to say that the leaders... Okay, we can't say the leaders of Israel. We can't put the words in their mouth either. So, okay. But anyway, but that's okay for them to put the words in our mouths. Okay. So we can't say that they're probably saying in Israel, "Let God sort them out. We'll kill them all and let God sort them out." We can't say that. Okay, I'm sorry. We can't say that they're saying that the Gentiles...
Mr. Curatola, please stop now. Please have a seat. Thank you.
Well, at any rate, I am the chosen performing artist for the Pennsylvania Music Preservation Society, for the Latino artist to perform in the Puerto Rican Day Parade. You can see me on the 19th, as you saw me in the Irish Parade in St. Paddy's Day, doing the Irish tenor stuff. I thank you very much for your time.
No one else has signed up in advance for this public comment session. I will now...
It's an army from City Hall, too, why don't you?
Ask if anyone to my left has any comments on an item not being voted on this evening. Yes, Mr. Stock.
I just want to say how much I appreciate and welcome and love the Jewish people, and how welcome they are in our city, and how glad I am that they are among us. Just wanted to say that to counterbalance everything that was said before. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else to my left like to make comment? Start in the front and then I can see you.
Thanks. Dr. Michael Pipestone. I live at 1130 West Market Street. I rise in support of the Green Buffer Yard amendment as proposed. I've mentioned before in other settings how green spaces matter for health. There's lots of actual, factual, hard evidence that shows that increased green spaces decrease urban heat, decreases heat stroke in residents in a large area around those green spaces. The comments about airflow and cleaning our air are particularly important in that we can prove that trees, despite the fact that some of them may drop pollen, arrest the spread of particulate matter from car exhaust and other pollutants. Asthma rates actually decrease the more you have green space. These are non-exhaustible public goods for public health. It decreases healthcare costs, it decreases emergency room visits. I believe that's the kind of city we want to build here. Just from my medical perspective, I feel that should be on the record, and I'm happy to find these resources and email them to council. Additionally, I do appreciate that council was firm in setting boundaries on statements of attribution and inflammatory statements by one of the previous speakers. I would further go so far as to say that while people may have a right to speak, they don't necessarily have a right to have their voice amplified. And again, I think the council has every opportunity to consider muting a speaker or pause the recording on YouTube if things trend towards hate speech again. That's my personal opinion. I leave it to the solicitor to consider the appropriateness of that. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I'm Tammy Rinker. I live at 630 15th Avenue, and I simply rise to speak in favor of the green barrier amendment that's been offered, has been talked about, that's presented by Councilwoman Jo Daniels, simply adding yet another voice and presence in favor of that.
Thank you. Anyone else to my left? Anyone in the broad center? I'll start on the left here, the woman in the purple shirt.
Hello, Siona Brotlight, 412 Second Avenue. I echo what we've heard already. I'm here in favor of this important amendment. Thank you, Joe Daniels. And same points. Airborne particles, noise, glare, stormwater runoff, light pollution, urban heat, fire spread, and in general, green spaces. Let's not develop this city to a point where we're all mortar and brick and stone and all the modern materials they're using, and who knows what allergens and poisons are in that. But most important is we need our green spaces for the reasons I stated. And the amendment is very simple. You know, we already have an ordinance that says we separate it from single dwelling. It doesn't make much sense to distinguish twin houses or apartments and so on. It doesn't make sense to me. There's some kind of economic reasoning to that. Let me know, let the city know before the vote. We'll consider it. But cleaner air, lower heat, so on and so forth, those things are important to Bethlehem, to quality of life, etc. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Anyone else in the broad center? Yes.
Bill Shire, 1898 Avenue. I'm postponing my final remarks on the so-called water and sewer bill to speak tonight about something more urgent, the possibility that the Zoning Hearing Board will end up eventually rezoning the west side of Bethlehem, which of course would usurp the power of the City Council to determine zoning. First, I would like to establish some context by citing the food store at the corner of Linden Street and Johnston Drive, which is in an RR zone, the least dense residential zone. Decades ago, a special exception was allowed for a roadside stand. As the years went by, variance after variance was granted, gradually resulting in the sizable market that is now there, still supposedly in a residential zone. A similar process is developing on the west side. The 1200 block of Eaton Avenue is Zone RG, a residential zone that allows twin houses and row houses, but not apartments. The Zoning Hearing Board has allowed an apartment building to be built, which is normally allowed only in the RT zone, the densest residential zone. Next, I would cite the so-called Hanover Apartments, where Bennett Toyota used to be on the border with Allentown, excuse me. The zone is CL, which stands for Limited Commercial. I won't go into the reason for the developers asking to remove the commercial, which is a little involved, but their request was granted. This was such an egregious transformation of the character of the property that the city administration sued its own zoning hearing board in court and won. Next, I would cite the property at the corner of Mount Airy and Calypso Avenues, which is Zone RS. That's the zone between RR and RG. RS only allows single-family homes zones, single-family houses, like RR, but allows them on smaller sites. The Zoning Hearing Board granted a variance to allow some twin houses, jumping the allowed zoning to RG, in effect. On top of this, the property is less than 5 acres, which is spot zoning, which is illegal. Finally, we come to the corner of Mount Airy and Elliott Avenues, where a development is proposed that would require the extension of Elliott Avenue. This RR zone is rather large and is in the very southwest corner of the west side. In their filing with the Planning Commission, the developers indicate that they plan to ask for a so-called use variance from the Zoning Hearing Board to allow 5 sets of twin houses, thereby jumping the zoning from RR through RS all the way to RG. As I see it, the council has three options. The first would be to inform the Zoning Hearing Board that if they honor that request, they should instruct their solicitor to begin preparing a defense, because they could expect to be sued by the council and or the administration. The second option would be to only express concern about such a variance. The third option, if you like what is going on and don't mind the invasion of the Zoning Hearing Board into your powers, would be to simply do nothing.
Anyone else in the Broad Center? Yes.
Terry Coiber, Grandview Boulevard, Bethlehem.
Sorry.
In regard to what the gentleman said about metropolis to town to metropolis, if you haven't heard by now, BAHX is submitting new plans for Bennett's lot. So far, plans for the Allentown side have been submitted for two buildings with 100 apartments and only 100 parking spaces. So my concern on that, of course, is somehow he's going to slither through and get all that he wants to get like he normally does. We did go to the hearing. We did give our comments. But the two variances that they were going for were both allowed by the city of Allentown. Slanted roofs, which are not permitted, and only one access where you need two. He's allowed to have only one. So that's going to change the dynamic as that goes on, because it's then going to go to the Bethlehem side, which is planning for 5 buildings with around 310 apartments, I believe it is. So that's going to be 7 buildings on that plot of land at Bennett's lot. I live catty corner to it, so yes, this is near and dear to my heart, and this ugly dragon is rearing its head again. It will change the dynamic from metropolis to town to metropolis to metropolis to mini metropolis, then to downtown Bethlehem, and then to metropolis. So our question, or my concern, is the quality of life. We talk about quality of life, but who really enforces it? 5 to 6 story apartments right up against the alley behind our 2-story homes. And I mean 2-story homes, 2-story townhouses. The only thing higher than that is 2.5-story townhouses, and there's only, I think, 8 of those, and they're just in a row. So all of our little houses are going to be built like this, and then you're going to have this. And I'm afraid, I really am. I mean, we fight it. Our lawyer, Tim Stevens, has been wonderful so far and has really helped us out. But my concern is, does the city really care, planning and zoning? Do they really care about the little people? Are they going to see what we see, a monster behind our backyards? Pine trees that were put up 30-some years ago that are going to probably be torn down, and then little trees are going to be put there that we will never see grow up, because by the time they grow up, we won't be here anymore. So I just want to bring this up just to keep it fresh in your minds that, yes, the fight's begun all over again. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Cliver. Anyone else in the broad center, in the back row?
Hi, I'm Carmela Monahan, 209 Mount Airy Avenue, Bethlehem. I just want to agree with the buffer and with this gentleman over here about quality of life. And, you know, it's true. You're just cramming people in, and especially in the heat wave, when you cram people in, temperature goes up, and so do people's temperature. And they tend to get a little ornery, and that's not good either. So the more space we have, the better. So I'm just here to support the buffer.
Thank you. Anyone else? Mr. Antalix? Mr. Antalix?
Steve Antalix, 77 Ridge. Approximately 30 years ago, a private citizen attended a council meeting, and during public comments section, quite lengthily elaborated on a personal wish. This person spoke for over twice the time currently allowed and was not interrupted by council president, but in fact was engaged in continued dialogue by the president after they concluded their comments. The entire event took approximately 15 minutes. The president of council then composed a mail to the speaker on official council letterhead advice for further action. The last council meeting represented a dramatic change in citizen council member interaction during a public comment section of this of the meetings. At approximately a 15-second over the 5-minute rule, the speaker is rudely interrupted by the acting council president to cease speaking and then denied a request by the speaker for a brief extension. This interesting aspect of this event was that the speaker was advising council with facts how to they could improve Southside housing by amending certain definitions of zoning code, thereby preventing future single family to student housing conversions. This topic is of great interest to the acting president, as illustrated by their comments and publications, and for that reason, the refusal to allow the speaker to continue prompted a great interest on the speaker's part. A review of the video of that meeting indicated that the acting president's attention appeared to be primarily on the cell phone, the computer, and not on the speaker. the acting president, attention to this bigger seemed to be very high only before the time limit was reached. An error here. The person who spoke 30 years ago and the last name is the speaker now. So I can, what I'm saying, I can say with great accuracy. And I think both examples illustrate the vast deterioration of council member and private citizen relationship over the years. As a secondary check as to my personal opinion of council, I recently emailed all 7 council members the same information and made a prediction as to how many and who would respond. My prediction was 100% accurate. I then contacted a fellow concerned citizen who was quite aware of council proceedings and solicited their conclusion in comparison to mine. With that exchange of ideas, their response was 100% agreement with me as to the number and names of those who responded to my email. There's a message there. I have quite a number of times observed quite a number of council meetings where private citizens have stated that council does not listen to them and a number have ceased to attend for that reason. What happened to force this breakdown and what must happen to restore it? Bill Shire, I highly respect. This is an aside. I highly respect. And he comes to council meetings constantly and speaks with intelligence. And for that reason, I pay very close attention to council members. And I have some staring at me right now, but I will say this. Bill was not given the courtesy of that same attention, which I think is a shame.
For the record, if you, anyone would like to review last meeting's recording on YouTube, you will note that the speaker was granted additional time and chose to instead comment about how the acting council president would not do it and sat down. Continuing on, and please, council members, I would also encourage you to take notes, whether that's on paper or on your computers, while people are speaking. Notes are great. Anyone else in the broad center? Anyone to the right? That concludes the first public comment section. Sorry, I didn't see you behind the chair. Yes, this is when you yes. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Judith Goss. I live in the Yellow House, 317 Rock, above the Perrone expansion of the building. Yes.
Nice microphone.
Yeah, there you go. You didn't hear any of that? You're just lucky. Here it goes. I'm Judith Goss. I live in the Yellow House. That when I look this way, I see you guys. Yeah. It's above the Perot building. And I have an alley and I have a street in front of me. And once, many years ago, I've been there 40 years, a 12-point buck walk down that alley. That was very exciting. I've seen foxes, red ones and gray ones. And I didn't know that the gray ones climb trees. Well, we don't have any trees anymore there, so who cares? Anyway, groundhog last year, I got bit me to get rabies shots. but he died, and I didn't. There's wonderful birds that just don't stop singing. I don't know what else they do. They have nothing to do but sing. I'm very lucky. I have half of you that I have from before the Perone went up, but a spectacular view of Bethlehem, and there's way too many Lehigh students living in the south side that I can see from my house. And why don't they all, what about all those forests? Can't they, like, live in who owns the forest? Does Lehigh own the forest? Could they, like, put their students there and, like, regular people in, like, the city? Never mind, I'm diverting. What the hell's this subject here? I'm for buffers. Buffers for nature. And now we have skunks under the house. I came home last night and I saw these white and black things like going like this beautiful fur. And it was it was just a ball. And I touched it to help it go up. It couldn't get up the rocks in front of my house. It didn't do anything like smelly or anything, but it's skunks. So this is how nature has changed in my. I still have a lot of nature around me, and I'm thrilled with it. There's trees, plants, and animals, and squirrels, of course. Okay, I shouldn't be here. I'm for buffers. I see the saddest homes I see in the neighborhood have no front, no back, no nothing, just crappy windows and a hard life, and I'm all for keeping buffers, which involves nature. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. All right. Did I miss anybody else? Okay, wonderful. So we now move on to our second, technically third, public comment section for the evening. This is on items being voted on tonight. We still have a 5-minute time limit, and no one signed up in advance, so I'll jump straight to asking if anyone to my left would like to speak on anything being voted on. Okay. Anyone in the center on items being voted on? Mr. Antalics.
Still Stephen Antalics. An earlier president of the United States was attacked by conservatives of the Catholic faith for supporting policies contrary to Catholic doctrine by suggesting that he be denied certain privileges offered to members of the faith. His response was that he had two duties. One as president, and the other as a personal member of the Catholic faith. As president, he was being faithful to his oath of office and support policies contrary to his faith. Most individuals do not have this problem since most are just private citizens. Does this rule apply to all elected officials' personal will and the will of the people? Which reigns? Let's examine Bethlehem City Council. Each member can be conflicted by this rule, that being voting according to their personal beliefs or vote for what reflects the will and the best interest of the people. One example might be the policy of retired police officers' ability to purchase a service weapon after retirement. This policy also promotes the safety and well-being of all Bethlehem citizens by putting on the streets a weapon in the hands of a highly qualified person. How shall we judge a council member who votes a personal opinion which is in conflict with the city physician and unwittingly a written policy, but also undercuts citizen safety on the streets. The best way for voters to express their solution is probably the voting booth. But also, I want to thank Council President, or Acting President, for the very direct attention I got this evening of our council. Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Anyone else in the broad center with comment on an item being voted on this evening? Anyone to the right with comment on an item being voted on this evening? Public comment. We now move on to old business. Is there any old business from any members of council to my left? All right. Seeing none, we move to new business. I would like to remind council that new business is not an open-ended forum nor time for adjudication or examination. This section of the agenda exists to formally introduce items to the rest of council. Announcements, referring item to committee, or requesting information from staff or administration. If an item requires such discussion that it's deserving of inclusion on the agenda, it should be submitted for our agenda process, which will help fulfill Sunshine Law requirements, or can be referred to a committee for inclusion on that agenda. So with those guidelines in mind, does any council member to my right have new business to discuss?
If I could.
Thank you,
Councilman. Thank you. This is going to be short and sweet. I'd first like to thank everybody that came out in support of the proposed zoning amendment for the buffer yards. And the communication will be read, but in short, it's just a matter of inequity that I felt across the entire city for all residents. Having all available residential properties included in that buffer yard, I think, is paramount for a number of reasons, many of which you guys have already spoken during your time at the podium. So again, I'd just like to thank you all for coming up and speaking out. That's all.
Anyone else to the right, to my right? Anyone to my left? Mr. Plum?
Thank you, Councilwoman Laird. I just want to briefly thank the administration or whoever handles the internet webpage content and social media content. I did see that this morning's meeting for the Citizens Traffic Advisory Committee had been shared, inviting individuals from the community who are to participate to come. I know something we talked about, I think, recently this calendar year at a meeting, and we have over the years. So, again, just my thanks to whoever is posting that content that we're sharing that. Thank you.
Can you repeat what you just said about the business?
I'll summarize in saying that new business should be reserved for succinct matters of attention or seeking direct answers. But if there's something that really needs an in-depth dive, then we can go through our agenda submission process or request a committee meeting to deep dive.
Sure.
Thank you.
I just want to make sure that we still have the opportunity to speak about issues that come up. Not in depth, but broad.
Yes, of course.
I had two things in it. Number one, I had over 4th of July, I don't know who can handle this, but there's a city flagpole, I guess, over at the Lehigh Little League. Giant flagpole, used to be a giant flag flying from it. So I had a couple calls on it. I don't know if it belongs to the Lehigh Little League or if it belongs to the city, but they were asking why there's no flag up there anymore. So there used to be, I guess you used to be able to see it. I remember seeing it a few times when I was golfing over at Neiman. So there used to be a huge flag, American flag up there. It's not a normal size flagpole, it's very large. It almost looks like a Verizon.
It's because it's not a flagpole. It's a cell tower. Which is why, and I think that actually goes back to when maybe even Mr. Karp was here, but I think we had to take it down because it was a cell tower and not a flagpole.
I just had a couple of veterans that asked me by, and I didn't know.
I believe that. Yeah. I think that's what the story is there.
So we can't use it as a flagpole from this point on?
I haven't revisited. Like I said, I believe, and I'd have to go back, I think this was probably around 2014, 2015, that, because, I mean, everybody liked it. It was a huge flag, and it helped to hide the cell pole. But I believe that's what we were told, that it was something that was unable to be used.
Yeah, I mean, if we could check on it. If we can't use it, I understand. Yep. Yeah, I just want to get back to them. Thank you. The last thing is, I just wanted to state that last meeting I had said that I was going to send a letter to Ms. Kreatek asking for a formal letter asking in for the last 3 months if we could possibly have a committee meeting dealing with some of the issues that were discussed at the last council meeting, and I haven't heard any reply back. So
there was a memo.
There was. I didn't get it. I had issues with my Mr. Miller will attest to it. I had problems with my email.
That's correct, and yeah. It was also sent into your personal email as well.
All right, so maybe it went to junk or something. I don't know. I'll look for it. Was it sent recently?
Yes, within the last few days.
Yeah,
that would have been since Monday, Tuesday.
Thank you. I'll look for it then. Thank you. Could you send it again? Well, you know what? I'll look for it. If I can't find it, I'll send it.
You want to pass the hard copy?
Please. And that's it. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other council members have any business for tonight? All right, that concludes new business. Moving on to communications, we do have many communications this evening because of combining two agendas. You got your water ready?
I do.
All right, Clerk, please begin with Communication 6C.
The June 9th, 2026 Memorandum and Proposed Resolution from DCED Business Manager Tiffany Wismer. Ms. Wismer recommends an agreement with the Greater Lehigh Valley Chamber of Commerce to implement meeting efforts for groups and subcommittees for the Bethlehem business community through December 31st, 2026. The cost is $80,000. There are no renewals.
Resolution 10A is on the agenda.
6D, a June 10th, 2026 memorandum from City Solicitor John F. Spurk Jr. with an attached amendment number 1 to a use permit agreement and resolution. Permittee is Arts Quest and the event is 2026 Soccer Fest. The amended agreement lists numerous activities that occur on various times and dates on June 11th, 20th, 21st, and July 7th, depending on the outcome of play. The premises will be First Street from Polk Street to the Eastern Terminus and Founders Way between First and Second Streets, and First Street from Founders Way to the Eastern Terminus. Additional traffic lane restrictions may be necessary in the area depending on the venues. Amendment 1 delineates and affirms these actions.
Resolution 10B is on the agenda.
6E, a June 29th, 2026 memorandum from City Solicitor John F. Spurk Jr. with an attached amendment number 2 to a use permit agreement and a resolution. Permittee is Arts Quest and the event is 2026 Soccer Fest. The action is to ratify an amended agreement that removed one location and allowed use of one First Street from Polk Street to the Eastern Terminus and Founders Way between First and Second Streets from 9 a.m. until midnight on July 6th.
Resolution 10C is on the agenda.
6F, a June 10th, 2026 memorandum from City Solicitor John F. Spurk Jr. with an attached use permit agreement and a resolution. Permittee is Arts Quest and the event is the 2026 Sabor Latin Festival. The action is to ratify approval involving activities that occurred from 4 to 11 p.m. on June 26th and 27th. Premises was First Street from Founders Way to the Eastern Terminus.
Resolution 10D is on the agenda.
6G, a June 10th, 2026 memorandum from City Solicitor John F. Spurk Jr. with an attached use permit agreement and resolution. Permittee is Arts Quest and the event is 2026 Independence Day celebration. The action is to ratify approval involving activities that occurred from 3 to 11 p.m. on July 4th. Premises were First Street from Polk Street to the Eastern Terminus and Founders Way between First and Second Streets.
Resolution 10E is on the agenda.
6H, a June 29th, 2026 memorandum from City Solicitor John F. Spurk Jr. with an attached use permit agreement and resolution. Permits he is Arts Quest in the event is the 2026 One Earth Reggae Fest. The action is to approve activities occurring from noon to 1:30 a.m. on July 11th and 12th. Premises are First Street and Polk Street to the Eastern Terminus and Founders Way between First and Second Streets.
Resolution 10G is on the agenda.
6I, a June 30th, 2026 memorandum from City Solicitor John F. Spurk Jr. with an attached use permit agreement and a resolution. Permits he is the Greater Lehigh Valley Chamber of Commerce by and through its Downtown Bethlehem Association, and the event is America 250, a Bethlehem block party. The action is to approve activities occurring from noon to 5 p.m. on July 12th. Premises is Main Street from Broad Street to the Hotel Bethlehem parking lot entrance.
Resolution 10F is on the agenda.
6J, the June 10th, 2026 memorandum and proposed ordinance from Budget and Finance Director Lenny Lazarchak. The adjustment is in the general fund budget will recognize 2026 revenue generated from two agreements with Bethlehem Tempo LLC that were previously approved by City Council and appropriate them to the expense accounts. First agreement will increase revenue account number 001A-30501, rents right-of-way, by $1,000 and appropriate the $1,000 to expense account number 0508-42060, Public Works Grounds Maintenance. Second agreement will increase revenue account number 001A-30501, rents right-of-way, by $103,000 and appropriate $103,000 to expense account number 0801-42083, transfer to non-utility, where it will be placed in Greenway account in memo 2 of 2.
Ordinance 9B is on the agenda.
6K, the June 10th, 2026 memorandum and proposed ordinance from Budget and Finance Director Lenny Lazarchak. Adjustment in the capital budget will recognize 2026 revenue generated from two sources, the $250,000 grant from DCNR, account number 006A-3514, and the $103,000 transferred from the general fund listed as cash balance account number 006A-308901 in memo 1 of 2. The full amount of both revenue sources will be appropriated to account number 69999-662063, South Bethlehem Greenway, in parentheses at South New and West 3rd.
Ordinance 9C is on the agenda.
6L, a June 10th, 2026 memorandum and proposed resolution from Laura Collins, Director of Community and Economic Development. Ms. Collins recommends an agreement with Spillman Farmer of Bethlehem to provide final design and engineering for the 11-unit non-congregate emergency family shelter at 232 and 234 West Packer Avenue. Cost is $210,000. Work is to be completed by March 31st of 2027. There are no renewals.
Resolution 10I is on the agenda.
6M, a June 3rd, 2026 memorandum from Police Chief Michelle Cott with an attached resolution and agreement for the purchase of a duty weapon by retired officer of the Bethlehem Police Department. Pursuant to the Third Class City Code, retired officers may purchase their duty firearms at fair market value.
Resolution 10J is on the agenda.
6N, a June 3rd, 2026 memorandum from Police Chief Michelle Cott with an attached resolution and agreement for the purchase of a duty weapon by a retired officer of the Bethlehem Police Department. Pursuant to the Third Class City Code, retired officers may purchase their duty firearms at fair market value.
Resolution 10K is on the agenda.
6O, a June 23rd, 2026 memorandum from Stephen Pallone, Superintendent Water Supply Treatment. Mr. Pallone recommends an agreement with Custom Ag Services, LLC of Marietta, Pennsylvania, for the removal, transportation, and disposal of residuals from one of two water treatment plant lagoons for each of 2 years. Cost of the contract is $206,250 for 2026 and another $206,250 for 2027. Contract would run through December 31st of 2027. After the initial 2 years of the contract, the city has the option to renew for 6 additional years with mutual consent to the vendor and city. Maximum dollar value of these renewals would be $1,650,000, assuming no price increase over the lifetime of the renewals.
Resolution 10L is on the agenda.
6P, a June 29th, 2026 memorandum and proposed resolution from Police Chief Michelle Cott regarding special event parking during Music Fest 2026. Time period will be from 12 p.m. on Friday, July 31st through 11:59 p.m. on Sunday, August 9th. North side and south side provisions are proposed and are detailed on a map that is attached as an exhibit.
Resolution 10M is on the agenda.
6Q, a June 30th, 2026 memorandum from Laura Collins, Director of Community and Economic Development, requesting that public hearing be set for July 21st, 2026. Hearing will review funding recommendations to council of $1,370,309 in community development block grant funds and $388,308.10 in home investment partnership program allocations for 2026. The memo requests passage of a resolution by council at its July 21st meeting.
I'll accept a motion and a second to schedule a public hearing for 7 p.m. on July 21st in Town Hall.
So moved.
Second.
Is there any discussion? The clerk will call the roll.
Ms. Daniels?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Mr. Amen?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Colon?
Aye.
And Ms. Laird?
Aye. Motion passes 6-0.
6R, a June 10th, 2026 memorandum and proposed ordinance from Councilwoman Josie Daniels proposing amendments to section 1318.23 of the city's zoning ordinance. Ms. Daniels' proposed amendments involve extension of buffer yard protection to semi-detached and attached dwellings.
I will accept a motion and a second to schedule a community development committee meeting to discuss the proposed zoning text amendment.
So moved.
Second.
Discussion?
Question. Would the environmental committee also be involved in that?
The EAC is what you're referring mm-hmm. to. They did receive the memo, I'm aware, and can discuss it at their meeting. They're also certainly welcome to come to a committee meeting and make comment at that committee meeting as well.
Okay, I was speaking of the Human Resource and Environmental Committee.
That committee has a very, in my opinion, confusing name, and it's my understanding that the committee deals more with the built environment than zoning and green space issues. Is that correct? That's what I've always been told. Anyone able to speak to that? Typically, zoning issues, I know, go to CD.
That would be accurate. I think the creation of the committee, going back to when Councilman Dolan got elected in 2005, was the idea that there was no place, but that was also before the AC existed, and also before the Climate Action Plan existed and things like that. There was no sustainability coordinator. So I think that is when actually was changed at some point in 2006, I think, during our first term. When she created the AC, so I think that's the origin of when it occurred. But since then, I think from a practical point of view, since things are often just discussed as far as through the Climate Action Plan and things like that, but I can't speak for council's own, but
sure.
I'm saying from a practical point of view, there's been different places now where informational things are able to be discussed, that it's taken away some of the need for that, but that just is what I think I saw during the 14 years.
Thank you for the historical context.
I think the Community Economic Development Committee would be the primary committee to review a zoning text amendment. I don't have the committee assignments in front of me, but there may already be some overlap. And just like every other committee meeting, full council is welcome to come and participate. We just wouldn't be voting members. And committees are just advisory anyway, because it's not a quorum of council.
I was just wondering, because it touches on both, but...
Do you have a request for one or the other? Ms. Daniels?
Sorry.
That's okay. As the...
We can keep it with the economic development.
Okay. Further discussion then on the motion. The motion remains the same.
I just had a question of process for the earlier definitions. We had received feedback from the City Planning Commission and Lehigh Valley Planning Commission. And this I used to be for the administration or Mr. Miller. I honestly don't remember. This will get referred to them just like any other text amendment, correct? And we'll have that feedback by the time we would vote on anything?
Yes. There will be communication in speaking with Council President Leon. We said we'll have the committee meeting, and if there's any tweaks or adjustments, that next version would be sent to the Planning Commission for their, they have a 30-day window to be able to comment.
Understood.
Thank you. Any further discussion?
And then just to clarify, at that point, since this is a zoning text amendment, we would then have a hearing prior to a meeting, just like we did tonight for the other zoning text amendments.
Correct. Yes. The only difference for what we usually see here is that this zoning text amendment actually is coming out of council instead of coming out of the administration, which is just typical. That the other way is typical, but this is fine too. So the rest of the process will go just as we typically see. Anything else? Okay, clerk will call the roll.
Ms. Daniels?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatkowski?
Aye.
Mr. Amon?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Cologne?
Aye.
And Ms. Laird?
Aye. Motion passes 6-0. Concludes communications. Moving on to reports, there's nothing for the council president's report tonight. Does the mayor have anything to report?
I have one administrative order here. I hereby reappoint Joy Cohen of 1057 Powder Mill Road to membership on the City Planning Commission. This appointment is effective through June 2031.
Administrative order appointing Joy Cohen to the Planning Commission. Resolution sponsored by Mr. Amon and Ms. Kwiatkowski.
Is there any discussion from council? Just would like to make a comment that I always love seeing fellow Girl Scouts come before us in these different roles. So the clerk will call the roll.
Ms. Daniels?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatkowski?
Aye.
Mr. Amon?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Cologne?
Aye.
And Ms. Laird?
Aye.
Thank you. And then just a couple of reports to pass along. One is I want to thank Ms. Collins and Mr. Tullo and everybody worked on the opening doors meeting that was held on June 24th. It's available on the website. Thank you to those of you that came to the meeting. Just as a review, they talked about the Western Gateway Project, the Eastern Gateway Project, the Choice Project, as well as the current initiatives we have to help to keep people in their homes, both housing rehab, Lead and Healthy Homes, and also the rental assistance. And I know later on today we are voting on the design and engineering for Packer Avenue connected to our homelessness initiative, so we can certainly answer questions at that point. Just an update, last week obviously we had the heat. So what we had done Wednesday, Thursday, Friday was that for the neighborhood pools, not Memorial, but for the neighborhood pools, we let people in for free after 4 p.m. The only one of those pools that filled up from the neighborhood pools was Yaska. I think that happened on one of the 3 days, maybe two of the 3 days. Memorial, which we, as in previous years, did not let people in for free at any point, reached capacity at about 3 p.m. all 3 days. But I want to thank the lifeguards. I want to thank Ms. Evans. I want to thank our public works staff. Like, just the increased use, we need more chlorine, you have to test the chemicals more, there's more people there than you might necessarily ideally want to necessarily look at, so lifeguards have to work more as far as shifts are concerned, and they were able to handle it. but it is not a small undertaking for 17, 18, 19, 20-year-olds. And, you know, other than having a couple of problems, if you add up the total capacity of all the pools there, I think you're looking at somewhere around 1,500 people if you look at all four of our neighborhood pools plus Memorial. So the neighborhood pools are about 250, I think it is, maybe a little bit less, and the Memorial's a little bit over 500, just around. So you're looking at several thousand people there over those 3 days. So I just want to thank everybody that helped to make that happen. Then also on next, just make sure I get my tape right here. We are doing our Disability Pride flag raising at 11 a.m. out on Payro Plaza on Friday, July 24th. This is the second year we're doing that. If you have an opportunity to come by, last year we did it. And we're doing it a little bit differently this year. Ms. Santoro and I have worked with a lot of our disability advocates in the community to talk about what they wanted it to look like. So if you have an opportunity to come out, please do. I know everybody's got jobs, everybody's busy, but it should be a good morning. And then finally, just a reminder, tomorrow, weather looks pretty good. We are having our block party community engagement over at Clearview Park. So that will be 6 to 8. And then next Wednesday, we'll be out at Madison Park in South Bethlehem from 6 to 8, having the same block party community engagement having to do with the rebuilding of those two parks. And then Bernie Fritz is the last Wednesday in July from 6 to 8, Bernie Fritz night as well. So three of the next four Wednesdays, we'll be having our block parties to both talk about what's going to happen with our parks and also gather engagement. So you'll have city staff there as well as our external consultant that is helping to do all of the final design and engineering there as well. So if you have an opportunity to get out to any of those days, they're always a good time, and we'll have an opportunity to talk to neighbors, and we will all be there. So I believe that concludes my report, Council President.
Thank you, Mayor. I now will recognize Ms. Kwiatek, Chair of the Community Development Committee, for her report.
The Community Development Committee met this evening at 6 p.m. in Town Hall. The committee discussed one agenda item, the 2026 Fair Hearing Report. The committee held the annual Financial Accountability Incentive Reporting Fair Hearing required by Article 349 and reviewed economic development incentive reports submitted by the administration. The meeting was for informational purposes only, and no actions were taken. Hillary G. Kwiatek, Chairperson, Community Development Committee.
Thank you, Councilwoman. I'll now recognize Mr. Colon, Chair of the Finance Committee, for his report.
The Finance Committee is going to meet on Tuesday, July 21st, 2026, before our next City Council meeting. So it'll be at 6 p.m. here in Town Hall. That's going to be to review a proposal to restructure some existing general fund debt. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. There are no ordinances for final passage, so we will now move to new ordinances. Clerk, please read Bill Number 19-2026.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh and Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, amending Article 1731, titled Inspections, and amending Article 119, titled Registration, Sale, and Transfer of Real Estate of the City of Bethlehem Codified Ordinances. Bill Number 19-2026 is sponsored by Mr. Amon and Ms. Kwiatek.
Before we jump to discussion, I just would invite a brief explanation of where this amendment comes from.
So Article 1731 is the ordinance that governs the property sales that occur in the City of Bethlehem, separate from 1738, which is the one that deals with rentals. So we are proposing to amend the ordinance to align it with the PA Municipal Code and Ordinance Compliance Act, or MOCA, as we call it. And that is the Pennsylvania statute that governs how municipalities issue use and occupancy certificates after conducting point of sales inspections. So we were actually notified by the Lehigh Valley Realtors Association that our existing ordinance is not in alignment with the newest iteration of MOCA, so we are amending to align with that existing ordinance. The main change that you'll see is the extension of time that a property purchaser would have to remediate any deficiencies identified during the inspection process. So previously or currently, a person who purchases a property would only have 90 days before they would have to call us back in to show that they had remediated the issues that were found during the sales inspection. But under the state ordinance, we are required to give people a year to do that remediation. So in addition to that, there's just some like cleanup that we did alongside that. So we added definitions into this ordinance. They're not new definitions. They come from other existing codes, which we've always used, like the PAUCC definitions, but we're just adding them into this version of the ordinance.
Thank you. Is there any discussion from council members? Mr. Callahan.
Ms. Callahan, so if let's say a 10-unit or a 15-unit, 20-unit property is built, and it gets, a lot of times what happens is they get built and then they get filled up, and a lot of times the seller then sells it immediately, you know, to an investor. So if the property gets a CO, let's say in January of some year, and then they sell in August, they now have to get it re-inspected again, all those units inspected again, like in August, even though?
I believe your CO inspection is valid for 1 year.
All right, so there's nothing in here that's saying once it's sold, once the property is sold, even if it's in within the 1 year time period of the CO, they don't have to get it re-inspected again.
I would actually have to double check on that.
Can you certificate of occupancy shall be required each time?
Could you microphone?
I believe that the answer to the question is set forth at 1731.03A. About halfway down that paragraph. With regard to
a new certificate of occupancy shall require each time it is transferred. Yeah, but then if you go to 1731.03D, the certificate of occupancy report is valid for a year from the date of the initial inspection. But yeah, I guess you're right. If it's required for each time.
Yeah, I would interpret that as if D is being applicable to the holder of the certificate.
So if someone bought it, they're also buying that 1 year certificate.
No, I think it's
they have to get it reinspected all over again.
It stays with the owner. The new owner would have to get the COA.
Why would we want to do that though? It just seems like if it's a brand new property, it just seems like we're just
as I said, I believe that we're just aligning this directly with what's in the Pennsylvania state statute. I don't believe that we are.
We're just making sure that our ordinance is in line with state law.
It just seems like that we're just being ticky-tacky here and trying to raise more money. That's all. And I just if it's a brand new building and it already passed inspection, it would seem to me that that inspection should stay with the building for a year. It doesn't matter who owns it. You know, the ownership of it isn't really changing the inspection status. And that's just
that would be something to advocate to the state to change that, I think, is what we're hearing.
I think too practically, Mr. Callahan, if somebody buys a building and there's not any changes, the inspection should go fairly quickly then. And it should just paid whatever amount for money for the property, like the $100 or whatever it is for the inspection.
That's per unit though, right?
But I'm just speaking here, and I can't speak for like the legislative history of what they were thinking here, is like, but if they sell something, like you're the one that's going through that inspection. And if somebody else buys it 6 months from now or 9 months from now, there's no guarantee that somebody's been there. There's no guarantee that something hasn't happened in the windows. There's no guarantee that you haven't taken appliances. There's no guarantee that, you are the one when you sign off on your inspection at your property and they come through and you fix the things and everything's done. It's like, you're the one attesting to those things. And then like, once, whether or not it's a day or 6 months or 9 months, there's a period of time there where something could happen. Once again, I'm assuming there's no way to guarantee everything that happened here in this property now will be the same 7 months or 9 months
right.
from now.
So, I got it. Thank you.
Further discussion?
I have a question. Regarding 1731-06, the compliance requirements, it's stating that a general rule within 12 months of the date of purchase, the purchaser of the property known to be in violation or substantial violation of the city code shall, at their option, either bring the property into compliance or not, basically, or demolish the building. And there is an option, an opportunity to negotiate longer times on that. Is that current?
This
1731-06, is that what's currently being?
No, this is the language that we've added directly from the state statute.
Okay. Can I ask what it is currently?
So currently the rule is that you only have 9 months to bring the property into compliance. And this is now required to be 12 months.
Okay. Is it mandatory that we have to match what the state is doing? Or
yes.
is it It's mandatory that we have to do that. Okay. All right. And have you had instances where the property hasn't been brought to code, whether it be 9 months or 12 months, and we've given them additional time? You don't recall?
I don't know.
Okay. All right. That's all.
Thank you. Any further discussion? All right. The clerk will call the roll.
Ms. Daniels?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Mr. Amon?
Aye.
Callahan?
Nay.
Mr. Cologne?
Aye.
And Ms. Laird?
Aye. Passes 5-1. The clerk will read bill number 20-2026.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh and Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, amending the 2026 General Fund Budget. Bill number 2026 is sponsored by Mr. Raymond and Ms. Kwiatek.
Any discussion? Clerk will call the roll.
Ms. Daniels?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Mr. Raymond?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Cologne?
Aye.
And Ms. Laird?
Aye. Passes 6-0. The clerk will read bill number 21-2026.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh and Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, amending the 2026 capital budget for non-utilities. Bill number 21-2026 is sponsored by Mr. Raymond and Ms. Kwiatek.
Any discussion? No? The clerk will call the roll.
Ms. Daniels?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Mr. Raymond?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Cologne?
Aye.
And Ms. Laird?
Aye. Passes 6-0. That concludes new ordinances for first reading. We will now consider resolutions. The clerk will read Resolution 10A.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the Mayor and Controller and or such other city officials as deemed appropriate by the City Solicitor are hereby authorized to execute an agreement with the Greater Lehigh Valley Chamber of Commerce to provide marketing assistance for groups and subcommittees who are dedicated to the Bethlehem business community. The resolution is sponsored by Mr. Amon and Ms. Kwiatek.
Any discussion? Clerk will call the roll.
Ms. Daniels?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Mr. Amon?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Cologne?
Aye.
And Ms. Laird?
Aye. Passes 6-0. I will now accept a motion and a second to consider resolutions 10B through 10G as our use permit agreements as a group.
So moved. Second.
Any discussion on the motion? Clerk will call the roll on the motion.
Ms. Daniels?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Mr. Amon?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Cologne?
Aye.
And Ms. Laird.
Aye. The motion passes 6-0. The clerk will read the resolutions and then call the roll.
10B. Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem, the Mayor and Controller and or such other city officials as deemed appropriate by the City Solicitor are hereby authorized to ratify execution of Amendment 1 to a use permit agreement with Arts Quest for 2026 Soccer Fest. 10C. Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the mayor and controller and/or such other city officials as deemed appropriate by the city solicitor are hereby authorized to ratify execution of Amendment 2 to a use permit agreement with Arts Quest for 2026 Soccer Fest. 10D. Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the mayor and controller and/or such other city officials deemed appropriate by the city solicitor are hereby authorized to ratify execution of a use permit agreement with Arts Quest for the 2026 Sabor Latin Festival. 10E. Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the mayor and controller and/or such other city officials deemed appropriate by the city solicitor are hereby authorized to ratify execution of a use permit agreement with Arts Quest for the 2026 Independence Day celebration. 10F. Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the mayor and controller and/or such other city officials deemed appropriate by the city solicitor are hereby authorized to approve execution of a use permit agreement with the Greater Lehigh Valley Chamber of Commerce by and through its Downtown Bethlehem Association for America 250, a Bethlehem block party. 10G. Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the mayor and controller and/or such other city officials as deemed appropriate by the city solicitor are hereby authorized to approve execution of a use permit agreement with Arts Quest for the 2026 One Earth Reggae Fest. These resolutions are sponsored by Mr. Amon and Ms. Kwiatek.
Is there any discussion on the group? Clerk will call the roll.
Ms. Daniels?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Mr. Amon?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Cologne?
Aye.
And Ms. Laird?
Aye. Passes 6-0. The clerk will read Resolution 10H.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem, in accordance with the Municipal Records Manual, hereby authorizes the disposal of public records in the Financial Services Bureau as set forth in Exhibit A. The resolution is sponsored by Mr. Amon and Ms. Kwiatek.
Discussion? Clerk will call the roll.
Ms. Daniels?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Mr. Amon?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Cologne?
Aye.
And Ms. Laird?
Aye. Passes 6-0. 10I, clerk will read Resolution 10I.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the mayor and controller and or such other city officials as deemed appropriate by the city solicitor hereby authorized to execute an agreement with Spillman Farmer to provide final design and engineering for the 11-unit non-congregate emergency family shelter at 232 and 234 West Packer Avenue. Resolution is sponsored by Mr. Amon and Ms. Kwiatek.
Is there any discussion?
I just want to voice my pleasure with the fact that this continues to move forward. This will make a big difference.
Any further discussion from members of council? Just for the record, can we be reminded of how many units are going to be provided here?
11.
And these are family units? Thank you.
Which obviously fills a need because there's no family units that currently exist.
Correct, yes.
I believe that based on this schedule, that we would go out to bid at the beginning of next year. So then construction would start in the spring. And then the timeline is that they would be open by the fall. So we're looking at a little over a year from this point to be able to have them open.
And managing the operations would be, New Bethany?
Conference
of Churches. Conference of Churches, right. Okay. Thank you. All right, any last comments? All right, the clerk will call the roll.
Ms. Daniels?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Mr. Amon?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Cologne?
Aye.
And Ms. Laird?
Aye. Passes 6-0. Clerk will read Resolution 10J.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the mayor and controller and or such other city officials deemed appropriate by the city solicitor are hereby authorized to execute an agreement to effectuate the transfer of the city-issued handgun assigned to Captain Nicholas Lechman, a retired city police officer. The resolution is sponsored by Mr. Amon and Ms. Kwiatek.
Any discussion? Clerk will call the roll.
Ms. Daniels?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Nay.
Mr. Raymond?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Cologne?
Aye.
And Ms. Laird?
Aye. Passes 5-1. The clerk will read Resolution 10-K.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the mayor and controller and or such other city officials deemed appropriate by the city solicitor are hereby authorized to execute an agreement to effectuate the transfer of the city-issued handgun assigned to Sergeant John Casella, a retired city police officer. Resolution is sponsored by Mr. Raymond and Ms. Quiatek.
Any discussion? Clerk will call the roll.
Ms. Daniels?
Aye.
Ms. Quiatek?
Nay.
Mr. Raymond?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Cologne?
Aye.
And Ms. Laird?
Aye. Passes 5-1. Clerk will read Resolution 10-L.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the mayor and controller and or such other city officials deemed appropriate by the city solicitor are hereby authorized to execute an agreement with Custom Ag Services to provide removal, transportation, and disposal of drinking water treatment plant residuals. Resolution is sponsored by Mr. Raymond and Ms. Quiatek.
Any discussion? I have a question that is this what we hear about when we look at our neighboring municipalities and we're, the farmers contract with companies to spray on their fields?
Okay, so you may be confusing it with biosolids. So this is not biosolids. Biosolids would come from the wastewater treatment plant. This is from the water treatment plant. So as the water gets filtered, when you backwash the filters, those residuals go down the lagoons. So this is simply dirt, silt, other benign solids that end up in the lagoon and they get pumped out. But they do get sent to farms, but it's simply, it's dirt, if you will. It's not biosolids.
Understood. Thank you for clarifying that, because I had misinterpreted that. Thank you. Clerk will call the roll.
Ms. Daniels?
Aye.
Ms. Quiatek?
Aye.
Mr. Raymond?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Cologne?
Aye.
And Ms. Laird?
Aye. Passes 6-0. The clerk will read Resolution 10-M.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that during the period 12 noon, Friday, July 31st, 2026, through 11:59 p.m. on Sunday, August 9th, 2026, and in connection with the 2026 Music Fest Festival, all violations of the provisions of Article 531, parking generally, and the subsections specified in the resolution shall carry the modified fines as specified in the resolution. Resolution is sponsored by Mr. Amon and Ms. Quiatek.
Is there discussion? Okay, the clerk will call the roll.
Ms. Daniels?
Aye.
Ms. Quiatek?
Aye.
Mr. Amon?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Cologne?
Aye.
And Ms. Laird?
Aye. Passes 6-0. I will accept a motion and a second to consider Resolutions 10-N through P, which are HARP Certificate of Appropriateness. As a group.
So moved.
Second.
Is there any discussion on the motion? Clerk will call the roll on the motion.
Ms. Daniels?
Aye.
Ms. Quiatek?
Aye.
Mr. Raymond?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Cologne?
Aye.
And Ms. Laird?
Aye. Motion passes 6-0. The clerk will read the resolutions and call the roll.
Certificates of Appropriateness under the provisions of the Act of the Pennsylvania Legislature, Bethlehem Resolution, are hereby granted for 10N, 523 Main Street, to alter the current 36x12x1-inch aluminum sign for the new business, the Velvet Raven, 10O, 264 East Wall Street, to repair the slate roof on the north side of the dwelling, replace existing slate roof on the side facing rear with asphalt shingles, repair the porch floor and paint the porch floor, porch posts, porch ceiling, trim wood soffits and fascias, doors, wood and aluminum siding, as well as wood and aluminum window frames, and 10P at 108-110 Wesley Street, to remove and infill two windows, install siding to match the existing siding, and replace the entry door on the facade facing Westwood Street. The resolutions are sponsored by Mr. Amon and Ms. Squiatek.
Any discussion on the group? Okay, clerk will call the roll.
Ms. Daniels?
Aye.
Ms. Squiatek?
Aye.
Mr. Amon?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Colon?
Aye.
And Ms. Laird?
Aye. The resolutions pass 6-0. 10Q.
Certificate of Appropriateness under the provisions of the Act of the Pennsylvania Legislature, Bethlehem Resolution, is hereby granted for 34 East 3rd Street to install two new wall signs. The resolution is sponsored by Mr. Amon and Ms. Quiatek.
Any discussion? Clerk will call the roll.
Ms. Daniels?
Aye.
Ms. Quiatek?
Aye.
Mr. Amon?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Colon?
Aye.
And Ms. Laird?
Aye. Passes 6-0. And the clerk will read Resolution 10R.
Certificate of Appropriateness under the provisions of the Act of the Pennsylvania Legislature, Bethlehem Resolution, is hereby granted for 330 East 4th Street to provide exterior details and finishes. Resolution is sponsored by Mr. Raymond and Ms. Quiatek.
Any discussion? Okay, clerk will call the roll.
Ms. Daniels?
Aye.
Ms. Quiatek?
Aye.
Mr. Raymond?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Colon?
Aye.
And Ms. Laird?
Aye. Passes 6-0. With that, the meeting is adjourned. Get home safe, everyone.